Morning. Welcome to Black Book Talks for August 2010. This is Emma Jackson Ford, Bookwoman, here with
Obie Hill, Reflections Mirror Image Book Community Historian.
Patricia Hill Welch, our third person, is not here in the studio with us today. She's actually in Birmingham, but if she can, she will be calling in. So we thought we'd talk about beach books today. And how about if you have a favorite beach book or a favorite summer read, you give us a call here for recommendations for others at 503-231-8187. When I thought about books that I read in the summer, I started off with thinking about, I usually reread something I've read during the year that I had to read hurriedly for book club or something and really didn't get to enjoy it fully. So I'll reread it in the summer or I'll get it on tape in the summer so that I can relax and really enjoy the book. And one such book that I read during the year this year was Yellow Moon. It's a novel by Jewel Parker Rhodes, and it is published by Atria Publishing Company. We had her on the show, I think last year or maybe the year before, and she originally is from New Orleans, but now she lives in Phoenix and in Boston part-time. She's a professor in both places. And she usually writes about voodoo or black magic, that kind of thing. But her books are always wonderfully entertaining. And the book that I read recently was Yellow Moon, and it is equally as wonderful. It's about Marie Levant, the great-great-granddaughter of the voodoo queen Marie Laveau. And she is a professor at a college, and she is a logical person, but in this book, she finds herself being illogical. This is what's inside the book cover, rather than me try to tell you the story. A jazz man, a wharf worker, a prostitute, all murdered. Wrists punctured, their bodies impossibly drained of blood. What connects them? Why are they rising as ghosts? Marie Levant, the great-great-granddaughter of the voodoo queen Marie Laveau, knows better than anyone New Orleans' brutal past, the legacy of slavery, poverty, racism, and sexism. And as a doctor at Charity Hospital's ER, she treats its current victims. When she sleeps, she dreams of blood, rain never ending. The river is rising, and the yellow moon warns of an ancient evil, an African vampire, a spirit created by colonial oppression. And so the book, in the spirit of the book jacket, goes on like that. It's a wonderful book.
Well, in recognition hoping that Patricia have a very pleasant trip to Birmingham, I brought a book that is a Newbery Medal Award winner, and it is a great book. I read it. This is probably about my third time reading it. The Watsons Go to Birmingham, 1963 by Christopher Paul Curtis. Let's see here. Christopher Paul Curtis. Enter the hilarious world of 10-year-old Kenny and his family, the weird Watsons of Flint, Michigan. There's Mama, Dad, little sister Joetta, and brother Byron, who's 13 and an official juvenile delinquent. When Mama and Dad decide it's time for a visit to Grandma, Dad comes home with an amazing ultra glide, and the Watsons set out on a trip like no other. They're headed south. They're going to Birmingham, Alabama, towards one of the darkest moments in American history. Now, as this is a book that's hilarious, it's also very serious because it's dealing with a time in our history where people of African descent were really being treated bad during what we call the civil rights movement. And so it's in the memory of the four little girls who died in Birmingham. Addie Mae Collins, who was born April the 18th, 1949. Denise McNair, born November the 17th, 1951. Carol Robinson, born April 24th, 1949. And Cynthia Wesley, born April 30th, 1949. All died in 1963.
We have a caller on the line. Good morning. Good morning, Maggie.
Hi. I want to recommend a book called Trumpet by Jackie Kay, K-A-Y.
Okay.
And apparently, the basic storyline is that it's about a black jazz trumpet player. Kind of hate to give it too much away here because it's such a great book, but it turns out to be a woman jazz trumpet player, but back then there just weren't those around, and she felt very much like, how do I say it exactly? She didn't feel comfortable in her own body, so she wanted to be a man. So she, back then there wasn't so much, I mean, she was being a transvestite in a sense. And she fell in love with this white woman. And at any rate, the whole, nobody knew that this person was a woman for the longest time until she died. And so it's a pretty good novel there. And it talks a lot about the fact that both were, that they had a child. And the child was white and black, and so mixed race. And essentially, it was back in the 30s, if I can remember right, is when it took place. So it was just a pretty good book there. I would recommend it.
And the title again is?
Trumpet.
And it's written by?
Jackie Kay, K-A-Y.
Excellent.
And what city are they in again?
Let me look here. If I can remember, this is I read it a while ago. Let's see if I can remember or see if there's any recognition of it up front. I just remember it being that kind of I thought it was a small town. I apologize. I don't remember exactly where it took place.
But in a small town in the South, maybe?
I think it was in the South. I honestly can't remember for some reason. It was, again, it was a while ago that I read it. But I think it was actually more in the East.
Okay.
Than the South, but I can't recall exactly if it says anything here.
The name of the book was Trumpet, and it's by
Kay. Yeah, and it's a novel.
Excellent.
It's a great book because it just addresses racial issues, sex, gender issues, and
Thank you.
You're welcome. Bye.
Well, it's interesting that you mentioned that because, of course, right now there are a couple of big issues in relation to the 14th and 15th Amendment, one dealing with citizenship and the other one dealing with gender and their right to marry whom one chooses. So this is a real interesting time.
Oh, great. I'm glad that this is a good book then.
Yes.
Good luck. Thanks for the program.
Thank you. Well, also, since it's summer and a lot of people travel in the summer, I picked up a book called Go Girl, the Black Woman's Book of Travel and Adventure. It's edited by Elaine Lee, but she asked women to write in about black women to write small pieces for her to put in this book about their travels. I bought this, I think, in 2005 before I took a trip to read it, because one of the things I was afraid of is being alone in another country. And this helped a lot. It talked about one woman's adventure of dealing with a taxi driver who took her somewhere else other than where she wanted to go because he didn't think she had a mastery of the language. And I'll let you read it to figure out how she dealt with it. But it's full of short stories or short adventures of women who've traveled abroad and in the U.S. talking about just what happened in a certain situation and how they handled it. Very useful book. It's called Go Girl, The Black Woman's Book of Travel and Adventure, and it is published by the Eighth Mountain Press. The book, The Watsons Go to Birmingham, 1963, is a book that I have read with fourth graders. I always think that it's okay to read a book that's at least two levels above where students are reading because the teacher is reading it and doing some discussion with them. I just recommended this book to my sister whose grandchildren were visiting, and they were going to be driving back to their home in Huntsville, Alabama. So I thought her grandchildren are sixth and seventh grade, and one is going into first grade. But I thought this would be a great book for when they stop at hotels to swim in the evening or for the evening before they go to bed. If she read this book, and it's also a way of bringing history alive for them. We met Christopher Paul Curtis a few years ago when he came for the library as part of the children's book series. And he grew up in Detroit, but he lives in Canada. And he tells a funny story about how he met his wife who lived in Canada, and he got tired of driving over so much, so he moved to Canada and married her. But I just totally recommend The Watsons Go to Birmingham, 1963, by Christopher Paul Curtis. He is a wonderful writer.
I'd also like to make a pitch for the local newspapers that we have here in Portland, both the Portland Observer and the Scanner. A lot of times you can look in there and they recommend some real nice books, too. I got a copy of the latest issue of the Observer. I didn't see any books in there, but I highly recommend that you read these.
During the summer, I just think it's a good idea, like during the year, to read to children. So there is a book that I've been cleaning this summer, and I found one of my old books that I didn't know what I did with. It is by Debbie Allen, and the pictures are by Kadir Nelson. It is called Brothers of the Night, spelled K-N-I-G-H-T. Beautiful, beautiful pictures, beautiful writing. It's about a man who has, I believe, seven sons, and he has trouble keeping a housekeeper, and he gets this housekeeper who is magical, and these boys are dancing their shoes to pieces every night. The dad does not know why the shoes keep tearing up, but she makes herself invisible. She follows them, and she finds out what's going on, and she finds a way to keep the boys in line and make it not so bad that their shoes are getting torn up. It's a very entertaining book. It's a very beautiful book. Children love it. Even adults I know love it. I've had teachers read excerpts of this at the read-in. So I highly recommend Debbie Allen's book, Brothers of the Night. The pictures are by Kadir Nelson. And it's a great gift if you're going to visit grandchildren or a niece or a nephew this summer or for a birthday even. Another book that I have found myself thumbing through in the summer, it's called Hair Story. It's a comprehensive and colorful look at a very touchy subject. Essence magazine put that line on the front. Untangling the Roots of Black Hair in America. It's by Ayanna D. Byrd and Laurie L. Tharps. This is a book that is a collaboration of two women who wrote their theses about hair. They somehow met and came together and wrote a book together. I don't know if other people have as much hair stuff going on as I have, but I suspect that a lot of us have hair issues. Whatever my hair is doing at the time, I always want to change it and have it some other way. Right now, I'm wearing it in twists, but the other day I saw someone with their hair pressed, and I thought, maybe I'll press my hair before school starts. Thoughts that I don't need to have. I need to just let this be. But this book is all about the history of hair, about hair issues, things that work for black hair. Wonderful book. It talks about long ago when our mothers braided our hair, how our mothers would position us between two knees and hold you there while they got the tangles out of your hair. That it's entertaining, it's informative, it's a walk down memory lane, but I've learned a lot from reading this book also. Again, the book is called Hair Story, Untangling the Roots of Black Hair in America, and it's by Ayanna D. Byrd and Lori L. Tharps. Is there anyone who would like to share some wonderful books that they've read in the summer that they thought someone else might enjoy? If so, please call us at 503-231-8187. You're listening to Black Book Talk at KBOO-FM, Portland.
And now that you're talking about travel and in the summer and beach books, I got a real interesting book. It's the 19th edition of the African American Business Directory. It's the African American Business Directory that encompasses African American owned businesses in the greater Seattle, Tacoma area, Vancouver, and Portland. And you can pick a copy of this up for free at Reflections Bookstore, Talkin' Drum Bookstore. This is KBOO, and you're listening to Black Book Talk.
I like the Avenue Magazine. I sometimes look at their recommendations, the editor's picks for books to read. And in July issue, the one with Prince on the cover, they are recommending a book called Annapolis in Love, which interested me because it sounded like it might be about hair. And this is what it says. Trisha R. Thomas is back with the next book in Napoli Ever After series. Unnapoli in Love, a fast-paced yarn about a woman who must turn on the sexy to keep her movie-making husband in her own bosom. Ha! Huh. It's by St. Martin's and Griffin Press. It's the only one that interested me on this list. The others seem to be about history, and I wanted something that would just be fun to read, just something that I don't need to learn anything from, just fun. So this was the only one on the list for July that caught my eye. But if you're looking for recommendations, sometimes the Ebony Magazine is very good for that. They have a sheet that says entertainment books, and at the top of this, of the July issue, it says sizzling summer reads.
Call in if you can, if you're listening to Black Book Talk, and we're a special issue dealing with beach books for the summer. Now, I cannot resist serious books. That is history. And I'd like to recommend a couple books. One is The Forging of a Black Community, Seattle's Central District from 1870 through the Civil Rights Era by Quintard Taylor. Very, very good book. In fact, he was here in Portland about a year and a half ago. And he had his new book out, The Other Black Northwest Beyond Portland and Seattle. And that is a very interesting read, too. So sometimes if you're riding in that car going from city to city and you don't get to the beach, by all means, read these historical accounts. And that's The Forging of a Black Community, Seattle's Central District from 1870 to the Civil Rights Era by Quintard Taylor.
Well, I happen to know that Quintard Taylor has been in Portland more recent than 2 years ago. As a matter of fact, his son lives here or used to live here, like recently. I also know that he lives in Seattle, and he used to be an associate member of the book group, the writing group we both belong to.
Oh, very good. We'll have to get him down here again then.
I'm hoping so.
Mentioned in the group, how are people coming along with their different works now?
Well, at the last meeting, we heard some people read from their works in progress. So I think we're coming along nicely. How about you?
I'm still working on my memoirs and in the research phase, but I'm going to have to sit down and start really writing very, very soon.
All right. Earlier this summer, I was on a trip, and I'd run out of things to read, so I went to a store there in Little Rock, Arkansas, and I found this book by Gwen Forster. And I'd never heard of her before, but the cover looked interesting, so I read the back cover, and I bought the book. It's called Blues from Down Deep, and I'll tell you about the book in a minute, but I want to tell you that the author was someone I'd never heard of before, but I wanted to know a little bit about her, so I read the back cover, and then I went online and looked her up. It turns out that she's written about 20 books. She is a national best-selling author, and her books are very interesting. I started to read this, and this book is about a woman, 40 years old, African-American, who was raised in Hawaii. She knew no other black people in her life except for her mother, who died when she was 2, and her father, who's just died while she's 40 years old. Her dad didn't tell her about her family. He never said anything at all about them, where they were from or anything. So the one thing she longed for in her life was family. So when she was cleaning up his things and getting rid of things, she found an old envelope that had a woman's name on it, and it was a letter that had been written to her mother, but the letter was not inside. It was just the envelope. So she went on a search. She went on the internet. She wrote to the Chamber of Commerce for that town, and eventually she heard back. And this woman who had written the letter turned out to be her mother's younger sister, who was a famous jazz musician, and she wanted her to come right away. They lived in North Carolina, and she said, come right away. So she said, come for a visit. But instead, she took their daily newspaper, found help wanted ads, got a job at a hotel that was being built. It was going to be opening in 6 months. She got a job managing that hotel, and she went there. Because she wanted to be in the bosom of the family. So she moved to North Carolina. But when she got there, she found out that her family wasn't exactly warm and wonderful and huggy and lovey. They were more like her dad, a man who, when she came home and said that she was the valedictorian of her class and that there would be a party for the parents and the children of the honor students, her dad said, how much money do you need? And how about you take a little friend to the party? So this is a wonderful book. It's called Blues from Down Deep. It's by Gwen Forster. And you could probably read it in a night. It's very interesting.
I see in your stack over there you have a book by Stephen L. Carter, The Emperor of Ocean Place. Would you like to talk about that a little bit?
Well, I was going to say about this book, The Emperor of Ocean Park was one of those books that the author got mega bucks when he sent in his proposal and the few chapters. He got mega bucks to read this book. And I was hearing all about it, what it was going to be about. And I thought, I've got to have this book. It is an extraordinary fiction debut, a large, stirring novel of suspense that is, at the same time, a work of brilliantly astute social observation. The emperor of the title, Judge Oliver Garland, has just died suddenly. A brilliant legal mind, conservative and famously controversial, Judge Garland made more enemies than friends. Many years before, he'd earned a judge's highest prize, a Supreme Court nomination. But in a sense of bitter humiliation, televised across the country, his nomination collapsed in scandal. The humbling defeat became a private agony, one from which he never recovered. But now that the judge is dead, some questions rise. and it seems to be leading to a second, even more terrible scandal. So it's this book to me sounded like a beach book when I bought it. And so I read part of it one summer. It's more like a John Grisham. It moves like a John Grisham novel. So it's very fast paced. But I bought it in the summer and school started and I put it in the bookshelf. And so when I was looking for books to bring today, I pulled this out. So I will be finishing this book. There is nothing wrong with starting a book, putting it away for another day and finishing it. It means that you have something to look forward to.
That book looks like it's about 500 or so pages.
Yes, it is.
So I can see why you put it down.
It is 650 pages.
That is a book.
All right, that wraps us up for another month. I'm Emma Jackson Ford, Bookwoman, and I look forward to seeing you in September.
And O.B. Hill, community historian, Mirror Image Books. And Patricia, you have a very, very pleasant experience in Birmingham, Alabama, my birthplace. And say hello to my ancestors. Peace and love.